This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Destined for Disease, How Mickle Therapy Changed My Life. And the author is Courtney Chambers. And Courtney joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Courtney.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, this is going to be very fascinating, educating, and give people hope. Like, I don't think I've ever experienced, especially when I start mentioning these diseases that are so well known in our society. You say if you are experiencing fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, anxiety, migraine headaches, post-traumatic stress disorder, insomnia, restless leg syndrome, or irritable bowel syndrome, then this book is for you. I had many of these disorders for most of my life until I found Mickle therapy. Well, most people, that sounds wonderful, but you know how most new developments, especially in the medical field, outside the normal medical treatments, all the drugs that we see advertised, most people would say, well, that probably sounds good, but when it sounds too good, it's probably not true.
And, you know, I would agree with you. However, as a nurse, I, of course, was involved with that side of things, with the Western medicine. And I never thought to try anything outside of it. And I tried everything they offered. And I would feel a little better for a while. Not much, but a little. But eventually, I always felt the same or worse. And so, once I stepped out of that and realized that nobody had any answers for me, they couldn't tell me why I was sick, and they certainly didn't have anything that got me well. It may help some of the symptoms, but I never got well, and my quality of life never improved, is when I found Dr. Mickle. And I still was skeptical, too, because, of course, I'd been told so many things over the years and had tried them to no avail. And after my first session with Dr. Mickle, for the first time in years, I saw an improvement in my overall symptoms without medication, without anything strange. And that's when I knew it was the truth. Whether my brain wanted to believe it or not, it was starting to get me well.
Well, and that's all that's important to you because it worked for you. And so what else could you think that it, you know, that it's effective and it's real because you felt better?
And I truly felt better. It wasn't a placebo effect. It wasn't wishful thinking. It wasn't positive thinking. I truly felt better quickly. I was on 24 medications and supplements when I met Dr. Mickle. Within 3 months, I was off every single one of them, and I haven't been on them since. And that's been since 2007.
Well, that's remarkable. And again, it sounds too good to be true, so it must not be true. Well, let's go back, Courtney, and tell us about how this progressed until it became the worst form of this disease. Take us back to when you were a little girl.
Okay, obviously when I was a little girl, I didn't know that something physical was happening, but I started experiencing anxiety. And, of course, I didn't recognize it as such. It wasn't until I got older I realized that that's what was happening. And that was when I was in my, you know, 3-4 years old. And then I would say probably around 14 years old, I got restless leg syndrome. And again, I didn't attribute it to anything. It wasn't until in my 30s that I got severe depression that I realized that something was wrong. And of course, I was put on medication, and it did help, but it didn't take care of why I had it. It didn't fix why I had it. It just corrected the symptoms for a while. That's why you'll hear on commercials today that 2 out of 3 people that are on medication are still depressed. That's because it doesn't fix the reason you have it. And Mickle therapy does. And also, you cannot go from well to fibromyalgia. You will have always started with depression or irritable bowel syndrome or all those other things you mentioned first. It's kind of like if you get a flat tire on your car, and if you do not fix it and you drive for a while, you're going to hurt the rim. It's the same concept. If you have depression for a long period of time, you are going to get chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or multiple sclerosis and cancers. There's just no way you can't continue to keep causing damage to your body. That's just the process.
You say this, as Mickle therapy will show, all the diseases mentioned are preventable. Now, that statement is beyond comprehension because we just kind of accept disease today that there's no way out, is there?
Well, yes. And to be honest, it wasn't, again, until I had Mickle therapy and realized why I had it that I could see why it was preventable. And I teach that because I'm a Mickle therapist now. That's what I do. And I teach people, and it's amazing how our first session, I can tell them why they have it, and then they can clearly see how it could have been prevented. And we don't spend a lot of time on that because our goal is to get them well. But they do recognize it very quickly. And most of my patients do tell me that, say, wow, I can see how I got sick. But we really just focus on getting them well. But it's really amazing for them to see that.
Now, I know you have a very comprehensive disclaimer at the front of your book, which is necessary. So in asking this question, it kind of defies that disclaimer, but does Mickle therapy work for everyone?
It does not, and I'll tell you why. There are just some people not willing to do what's necessary. They get the same tools as everybody else, but they're just not willing to do it. I'll give you an example. If you were to buy, let's say, a Bowflex on TV, you're excited, you want to use it, you've got these dreams in your head, you're going to get in shape and well, and then you put it in your basement and you don't use it, then you can't say that the machine didn't work. That's one thing that does happen occasionally, where some people just are not willing to do what it takes because it's an active therapy. It is not passive. It's not a pill. It's not a quick fix. It takes work on your part, active involvement. But if you do it, you'll start seeing results immediately, and over time, you will correct it 100% and everything else that followed. You know, some people might have more allergies to something, so everything that happens physically will recorrect itself over time. Like I said, it took me 3 months.
Dr. David Mickle, he's in Scotland, where he's been using this therapy that he created since 1997. He has many doctors over there. There's just how many of you therapists are there in this country?
Well, there were 4. But he redid the website over the summer, and I've noticed there's just 2 of us on there now. I don't know why, but there are 4 of us, but only 2 are listed on the website for the time being.
So give us some detailed information about how this therapy works.
Well, believe it or not, it's just a talking therapy. It's not the traditional talking therapy where they tell me their problems and then it's getting them to recognize that somewhere in their life they stopped trusting themselves. They, for some reason, and a lot of times it's abuse, where they felt like they couldn't live the life they wanted. They don't stand up for themselves. Someone's controlling them. It usually has to do with that. So what happens the first session? Of course, I let them know this is why you have it. All right. Now this is what you do about it. So it's behavior therapy, but it certainly doesn't mean they haven't been physically sick, because they have been physically sick. This is a physical problem. It's not mental. And it's amazing how their first session, they can pinpoint exactly when they started feeling like they couldn't live their truth in their own life. That whether it was from abuse and they believed that they didn't have a right to stand up, or that life never does get better than that, that this is expected. And so I teach them to just learn to trust themselves again, and we turn that part of them on. And then the hypothalamus gland, which Dr. Mickle believes is the whole problem, has been sick and in a diseased state. Instead of running at a rate of 3, which is its normal, healthy state, it's been running at a rate of 30. Once the body sees them acting on their emotions instead of stuffing them in their cells, which has caused all their disease, then it starts rehealing and it completely goes to a state of normal again. And in turn, it just corrects every other problem that was created with this. And so I would tell you that most of the people I treat were usually abused in childhood. Not always, but usually. The second thing that can happen is maybe just their personality is a little more timid. Doesn't necessarily mean they were abused. But in every single case, it's the mishandling of negative emotions. We all have them. We all are around it. But people that have been abused have a tendency to feel like they don't have a right to stand up for themselves. And over time, stuffing all that negative emotion causes us to be ill.
So a mental, psychological, that damage creates a physical problem.
Yeah, well, the beliefs, because what happens, it's not even damage, it's just beliefs. When you're traumatized, especially if it's coming from a parent, let's say, if your own parent doesn't love you and want you, then of course you're going to have beliefs about yourself that a stranger certainly isn't. So what starts happening is, first of all, you're drawn to people who abuse you or whatever, mistreat you, because that's what you know. But you hate it. You don't like it. But it's what you've gotten used to. And over time, physically, it's kind of like if you're boiling some water, all right, and you put in one too many potatoes and it boils over, that's what happens. Eventually, your cells are so full of this, especially if it's in your life at that moment, you get sick. So it's not even that they have mental problems. It's just almost the beliefs that are created from usually abuse.
You talk about the death of body intelligence.
Correct.
What is body intelligence?
Well, we all know we have a head intelligence, but we also have a body intelligence. So I'll give you a good example. If you were to sit on a thumbtack on a chair, before you even would have time to think about it, you'd pop up and you'd remove what's hurting you. And then maybe during that process, oh, it's a thumbtack. And we all have it. We have this intelligence that's always just scanning around us, and all it does is gives us information. It's not biased. It's just what is. And I'm sure we've all experienced walking into a room and it just felt weird. Again, it's just giving us information. The problem is usually with people that have been abused is in order to survive it, you shut that off, because otherwise it'd be screaming all day, I don't like this, I want to get away. And if you feel you can't, especially when you're a child, that part of you just gets shut off. So you run your whole life from your brain intelligence. The problem with that is, then when you do have negative things happen to you, and we all do, it just sits in your body and doesn't release. And that's exactly what happens. So as a Mickle therapist, my job is to reawaken that within themselves so that they can work together. And once that happens, then your body sends symptoms because it's been trying to get your attention. And once it couldn't, you're sick.
So you're going to help us learn to handle stress in a way that won't affect your health.
Absolutely.
Even when it's traumatized, even when you're traumatized, you can learn.
Even when you're traumatized, because the truth is, the trauma's in the past. You can't change that, but you can certainly react to everything that's in today's world. And that's what I teach them. You can't change the past. That's why talking to a therapist usually about, let's say, being abused really won't change your life or your situation, because you can't change it anyway. It's learning to live in the now, to where you're not going to be in that situation again, where it's going to pull that same memory up of feeling abused or helpless or controlled, because you keep adding those negative emotions to, and it has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. And it physically, that's what gets you sick.
The title of the book, Destined for Disease, How Mickle Therapy Changed My Life, and the author is Courtney Chambers. Courtney, tell us how to get your book.
Well, there's many ways to get my book. It's available at every bookstore. It's available at Amazon.com, and it's also available on my website at destinedfordisease.com, and it's available in hard copy, soft copy, and for your ebook.
Thank you, Courtney. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on Toginet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to Toginet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Secret of the Laurel Crown, and the author is Andrea McVicker. And Andrea joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, how are you?
Well, this is a mystery thriller. I call it an epic because it's one of those, I guess, like the Secrets of or the Chronicles of Narnia or the Lord of the Rings. Those kind of were your inspiration, would you say?
Yes, Yes, very much so. In fact, Madeleine Engel, which is a favorite author of mine, wrote A Wrinkle in Time, and so I felt that I wanted to write a book many years ago, very much in keeping with her fine writing. And so that's how I really came around with writing for young adults, middle school to young adults, an epic. I'm glad that you call it a lot epic. I'm very flattered that you do so. It is going to be a series, and so this is my very first book in the series, Secret of the Laurel Crown.
Well, here's a little glimpse of the book, just a thumbnail sketch, if you will. Secret of the Laurel Crown presents a 13-year-old girl who fights against a giant named Gog, battles evil, and wins. Yet she is an ordinary girl, and as such, she must battle to overcome her fears and guilt as well. Of course, this all takes place on a planet of double suns. You know, it's just around the corner.
Right.
You know, and of course, her brother's involved, her 15-year-old brother, Jimmy, and then she's got some friends with her, and they're battling the evil power. Now, is that Mauvais?
No, Mauvais.
The evil power of Mauvais and King Bal.
Correct.
They sound very unfriendly.
Yes, they are. They are. In fact, Carolyn battles on several levels. She battles her own fears and guilt because, you see, what brought her to Double Sons was her guilt in believing that she caused an accident that killed her parents and put herself in the hospital, and then forced she and her brother Jimmy to live with Graham. They had to move from Seattle to Detroit. And so with Graham's rules and her dislike of school and the problems that that whole family, her grandmother and she and her brother share, she would do anything to escape her life as she was so unhappy and as she was living it. And so her grandmother, in order to cheer up Carolyn, finds in a garage sale a puzzle. But the puzzle has no picture. So she and Jimmy put together this puzzle. And in this puzzle is locked a young woman who is dressed in a beautiful ballerina costume and so on. She's imprisoned in this puzzle. And when they put this puzzle together, they release this imprisoned character called Gazelia. And it's Gazelia who takes Carolyn and Jimmy to the land of Double Sons, because Carolyn is so happy to be free of her circumstances, except she finds herself in other circumstances in which she has to unlock a gift, which is a golden crown in the shape of a laurel leaf. And in that crown, there are instructions for her to actually battle Gog and the evil powers, along with Jimmy as well. So it's a very exciting adventure fantasy as the mystery of trying to find the key to unlock the powers that will give both she and Jimmy victory over King Bale, Mauvais, and the circumstances that they find themselves in on the planet of Double Suns.
Everyone, we are about to gaze into the mind of Andrea. How in the world did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's very interesting. I was taking a lot of writing courses in 1978, and I was doing short stories, and I had published poetry and so on, and I won a scholarship to a writer-in-residence program in Bloomfield Hills in Detroit, and there I met Joyce Carol Oates. She was one of the instructors, and I decided I wanted to write a book. I had no idea what that book was going to be about, but I thought about writing a book. And so at that time in my life, I liked doing puzzles. And so I put together a puzzle of a young woman in an arabesque in a beautiful ballerina costume, and I wondered who she was. Who was this lady in this puzzle? And I thought about it and thought about it, and it came to me her name. Her name was Gazelia. And so I thought, well, that would be an interesting character in a book. And so as I thought about the book, I started writing notes. That was in 1981, and thought about a plot line. And I know that some authors work by an outline, but I was working through the character of Gazelia, who didn't turn out to be the main protagonist, Carolyn. Gazelia led me to Carolyn, and Carolyn and Jimmy, and the circumstances of Carolyn. So then Carolyn became the main protagonist. And from there, I wrote certain outlines, plot lines, and through the years worked on the book a number of times. I think I've rewritten this book a zillion times and through the years. And so that was the germ of the idea and how it started all those years ago.
You also say that fortunately in our culture today, young girls have more opportunities to break out of the old stereotypic ideas based on a woman's place is walking three steps behind a man.
Correct.
So you kind of make, you know, that was in the back of your mind as well?
Yes, it was. All of the adventure fantasy books that I read, excuse me, in order to have a sense of the genre that I was choosing, I wanted it to, the book to appeal to middle school, to young adults. And I was working in the church, and I saw that all of the fantasy books had, and even today when you think about Harry Potter, they were males. They, even Tales of Narnia, they were males. They were the ones who were the heroes. And I wanted to make my hero an ordinary girl who, in fact, in a situation, in a supernatural situation, would also become the hero, the victor, the one who was doing the battles, as opposed to being the one who was in the background helping the hero, who is generally the male protagonist, have the victory. So I wanted to make a young girl the victory hero. And so that's why I wrote it that way, because of the way, but excuse me, because of the way that our culture was at that time, and even today, I think many of the adventure fantasy books that you can go to, young people are reading those kind of books, but I think of Harry Potter, the main protagonist is a young man, a boy. And so I wanted to make the main protagonist a girl.
An ordinary girl doing extraordinary things, that's
correct.
For sure.
An ordinary girl doing extraordinary things, yes, thank you. That's exactly what I had in mind.
And you also say, I love a good, clean, exciting read. And I emphasize clean?
Yes, very. Someone asked me, and I happened to mention Harry Potter, is this a book like Harry Potter? And it isn't. Secret of the Laurel Crown is not dark. It's inspirational. It's uplifting. It's exciting. And it is a good, clean read. I think whether you're a middle schooler or a young adult or even an adult, I have had a lot of adults come and say they really enjoyed the book. It's a good, clean read, yes.
So readers of both sexes like the book.
Yes, because also young men like the book, boys like the book, because Jimmy is 15 years old. He's 2 years older than Carolyn, so they have this adventure together. So it's a good read for a young man. It's a good read for a young lady.
Now, you have a Greek phrase that you use?
Yes, love conquers all things. And
How does that pronounced in the Greek phrase?
Agape nikai panta.
That's beautiful.
And it means love conquers all things, and all things include death, because this is a book about love conquering death and restoring, redeeming relationships. It's really a book about love. and how love is the most important thing in one's life. And Carolyn begins to discover this through a series of adventures because she and her brother, they don't get along. They don't get along at all. They have problems. And, of course, the issue that she has with her own fears and guilt in the book. So it's a book we can all relate to because we have those same fears and guilt and difficulties and challenges in life.
Now we have Gog, who's a giant, the evil giant. We also have Mauve, and you describe, is it her? Is Mauve a her?
Yes, Mauve.
Or an it?
Her. Mauve is both an evil ruler. And Gog is Mauve's champion.
So
Mauve rules the planet of double suns. And
you describe her as a sci-fi machine-generated hydra. Now, what is that?
That's what she turns into because she comes across as a beautiful ruler. She comes across as very appealing. She comes across as very lovely. In fact, she is like a goddess.
Sounds like politics in the United States.
Planet. I'm sorry.
It sounds like politics in the United States.
It does indeed. It does indeed. And so Gog is Mauve's champion. And so they morph into, they shapeshift into these different descriptive characterizations as Carolyn is using the directive from the crown to show her how to battle these two entities. So it's a modern adventure fantasy because we have a computer, we have it's technologically into here and now, as well as being on another planet in outer space.
And you're trying to dispel, as you put it, the propaganda ideology of the world that says fame, money, and pleasure will satisfy the longings of our souls.
Correct. Well, you see, that's what Carolyn is hoping for. Carolyn wants to get out of the impoverished situation in which she finds herself and living with Jimmy and her grandmother and all the rules and regulations and schools, school that she's in and the situation that she's in. And she thinks if she can just become famous, if she can just become rich, if somehow she could escape the environment that she's in, she would be happy. And she discovers when she goes to the planet of double suns that this is presented to her. However, in doing so, she's binding herself to a situation in which she must acquiesce to Mauve, who's very beautiful and offers her all this incentives of a new life, but she finds herself in bondage. And it is the crown that rescues her. So she's rescued on many different levels as she works through her guilt and fear and finds and discovers that fame and riches and fortune, which she is offered, will not satisfy her because there's no love involved in this situation at all.
And she also discovers that she can become courageous if she understands that she is loved.
Yes, correct. And it is love that is the incentive for her to reconcile with her brother and also to overcome the incentives that she's also getting for a completely different lifestyle, which will throw her into a type of bondage of fame and riches and so on, in which it is empty of love. So she goes through this whole process of discovering that love is the ultimate desire of her heart, as it is true for all of us.
So it's the struggle to, I guess, have this power of the laurel crown. Of course, Mauve and King Baal want it, and Carolyn and Jimmy and what's her name?
Gazelia
are trying to protect it and use it for good.
Correct. Exactly. And so it is always true that self-sacrificing love is the ultimate goal without us realizing that that is what will give us satisfaction and happiness, rather than the things we pursue so often, unfortunately, in our own lives, which is security through financial, economic, being appreciated and loved for our abilities and talents. It's really love that we're all seeking. We are all seeking that. Unknowing to Carolyn, this is what she needs. She just doesn't know that she needs it. And so it is for her self-discovery through unlocking the secret of the laurel crown that not only does her brother love her, but that she loves her brother, and that the life that she wanted to escape was the life that would give her the love that she needs.
The title of the book, Secret of the Laurel Crown. The author is Andrea McVicker. And Andrea, tell us how to get your book.
Oh, my goodness. I'd be so happy to tell you that. You can Google Yahoo, Secret of the Laurel Crown, and it will come up in various ways. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. You can also buy it through the e-books. You can buy it through Westbow. There's a number of ways that you can buy the book, and I'm very excited. We're going to have a book released right here in Coral Springs, and if anybody's in around the South Florida area, Coral Springs is very near Fort Lauderdale. We invite you to come to our regional library. There's a book release there, and we're going to have a celebration December the 3rd at 3:30 in the afternoon. Refreshments will be served, and you can even question the author even more about how she wrote the book, and you can meet her in person. We'd be very happy to have you come. But you can Yahoo, Google, and all of the information is very easy to get it through Westbow, ebooks, Amazon.com, and of course Barnes & Noble, and all of the bookstores will have it.
Thank you, Andrea. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Westbow Press. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show. Every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, leahjansen.com. That's Leah, LEAHJANTZEN.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Bite-Sized Prayers, Non-Denominational Morsels to Feed Your Soul.
And the author is Norma Jean Strickland. And Norma Jean joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Norma Jean.
Hi, Steve. It's just great to be here with you. I'm thrilled at this opportunity, and I'm delighted that you have already looked at a copy of the book and have some favorable comments. That means the world to me, so thank you.
Well, it's very unique. It's a much different book about prayer that I've ever seen, so I would highly recommend that everyone take a serious look at this and put it on your list for Christmas. It sounds like the perfect gift for Christmas. So
I think it's a perfect gift book, and it doesn't really matter what holiday you celebrate. I mean, it could be a birthday or Valentine's Day, but the holidays are coming soon, so it seems to be perfect timing. But I'm also thinking of this as a coffee table book. It's not just a book that you want to leave on your shelf, because I took all the photographs in the book. I've done a little bit of world traveling, and I always have a camera in my hand, so you have to get pictures when you're there while it's happening. So.
Well, we'll talk about those pictures, and we'll talk about these anagrams. I want to read just a couple of things just to give everyone a general overview of the whole message of the book. You say this: do you know how to pray? Are you too busy to pray? Have you forgotten how to pray? Life today is full and busy, so people constantly look for quick and easy ways to get their needs met. Bite-sized prayers, non-denominational morsels to feed your soul, is a small book that provides a unique perspective on how to pray. Each prayer is only one word, but with a twist. The word itself has become an actual prayer written in anagram form. So, for example, give us just one, like about the first one, angels.
Okay, yes. Angels, if you spell it and put the letters straight up and down, it's A-N-G-E-L-S. And so I wrote, always near God, every last soul. And that's how each word prayer in the book is crafted, so that, again, each prayer is one word, and the words are expressive of that concept. So here's another one that I really like. The one for love, of course, everybody in the world wants to give and receive love, and you spell it L-O-V-E. And what I wrote was, let other views express. And then the photograph that I have along with that word is just a pile of rocks that I saw on the beach one afternoon, and it's just perfect because it's, you can think of it as a collection of different people all together, and they're all just expressing who they are. So I did have a method to my madness. There are specific reasons why I chose the photographs to go with each word.
Does prayer have to be religious?
No, not at all. Not in my mind. And I think that's the biggest misconception about prayer that people have. There's a very famous quotation, and I might not get it verbatim, but Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer you ever said in your whole life was thank you, that would be enough. And I completely agree. You don't have to be in a formal place to utter a prayer. You just have to say something from your heart. Because spirit isn't limited to a building anywhere. Spirit is everywhere you look. It's in us and through us. It's expressing as us. And prayer is easy. And you don't need somebody else to tell you how to pray. You can just pray yourself just by closing your eyes and going within and just even calming down and taking a few deep breaths and just being quiet. even that in and of itself is enough to be a prayer. I believe that prayer is restorative, and that was another reason that I chose the specific photographs that I did that I've scattered throughout the book, because they're all nature photographs, and we love to go and wander out in nature because it does restore the soul. It makes us feel better when we actually walk barefooted and go down a trail or a path somewhere where we can just be one with nature and one with all that is, and that's really the essence of spirit. So that's why I approached this book the way I did.
Well, these anagrams are listed alphabetically. You start out with angels. You end with the word yes. And some of them, angels, aware, beauty, being, change, comfort, create, cry. It's obviously words that create a feeling, right?
Oh, yes. I love the one for cry, because it's just perfect. I mean, all of us have experienced crying in different ways. I mean, you can cry for joy and you can cry for sadness, but either way, your tears have to come out. And so to spell the word is C-R-Y, and what I wrote was catharsis reaches you. And I think it's so true. And there's a similar one in the back for the word weep, W-E-E-P, and what I wrote was, weeping enables eventual peace. And it's so true. We all feel better once we get those feelings out. But you do have to feel what you're feeling. That's part of life, and it's also part of being one with spirit and part of saying a prayer. You just have to feel what you're feeling in your heart.
What's so unique about your book is that when you are leafing through it, obviously you're seeing these anagrams in a vertical spelling, and you see this wonderful photograph, and it just stops you and you causes you to think and to feel. It's a great experience.
Oh, I'm so glad you feel that way, Steve. Thank you very much. Here's another one that I really love, the word for now, N-O-W, nothing outlasts wonder.
And what
and
photograph?
I have a photograph of an exquisite sunset that I captured years ago driving up the central coast of California. And I should probably tell the listeners how this book came to be. It was most unexpected on my part. One morning last December, I awoke from a dream, a disembodied voice dream that simply said, the words will come, write them down. And they did. And so I wrote them down. So I really feel like this is a gift from spirit to me to come through and be a gift to others, because it really is quite insightful, and I can say that only because I didn't really write it. It actually did come through me, and it's very humbling and such a wonderful experience. It's difficult to describe, but if you're a creative person and you're involved in the creative process, you know what I mean. You just kind of have to get out of your own way and let whatever wants to be expressed come through you. And so this has been a fabulous experience for me, and I'm deeply grateful.
One of your reviewers...
I'm really pleased with the way it turned out, too, so...
Oh, definitely, definitely. One of your reviewers says, every now and then, a book comes around that is deeply rooted in the fundamental principles of sharing love, compassion, and an inspired understanding of true human nature.
Norma Jean Strickland has done just that with her beautiful new book, Bite-Sized Prayers, Non-Denominational Morsels to Feed Your Soul. Read this book every day and feed your soul with the inspiration that will make each day a great day. Exclamation point.
Yes.
Well, there's other ones like Divine, Dream, Fear, Flow, Fun, Genius, Grace, Grief, Grow. You can see how they're all alphabetical and just some great words that causes you to think, I wonder what she did with those. Give us a couple more examples.
Okay. Here's one. Whisper. Whisper. What happens in stillness prepares each remembrance. In other words, if you go inside and just commune with the silence, then you can really remember who you are, which is pure spirit. And, you know, we're all on this journey together. And that's another reason I fashioned the book the way I did, because it's really appropriate for anyone anywhere throughout the world who speaks English. It's not appropriate for translation just because of the way the words are crafted. But for anyone who speaks English, it really is a way to express our shared human condition. We all feel the same things. We all want the same things. And it's our feelings that unite us. It doesn't matter what culture we come from. We're all spirit having a human experience.
That's right. There's laugh, so, life, light, listen, losses, love, mercy, music. The list goes on and on throughout the alphabet. Share another one with us.
Okay, let's see. I love these two, and they're next to each other alphabetically. The word for sweet is SWEET. Somewhere, everything embraces truth. And then the one that's right next to it is the word for thanks, THANKS. To have all needs kindly supplied. And for that one, I have a picture of a hawk. It was just a wonderful afternoon. This hawk and I spent about an hour together looking at each other in a garden up in Malibu at one of the meditation gardens at the Sarah Retreat. And it was a fabulous afternoon, and I just love this photograph because it's so expressive.
You also say taking time to pray allows you to get still long enough to hear the guidance you're being given.
Yes, yes. We're bombarded with We're bombarded with technology everywhere we turn. And I love technology, and it's a fact of life, and it's here to stay. But you also need balance in your life, and you need to know when to turn everything off, because otherwise all you're going to hear is the television and the music and the cell phone and the internet and everything else. So you just have to turn everything off for a little while in order to hear the stillness of your own being. And that's a gift that you can give to yourself. It's really important.
And prayer, as you put it, is intensely personal.
It is. It is. Nobody can experience your inner life for you except you. You're the one inside your body. You're the one having your own thoughts. And you alone know what your heart's desires are. So, one of the greatest directives is ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. Well, when you go inside to the stillness of who you really are, that's where you can ask for your heart's desires. Spirit is always present, and it will never intrude. It just waits for you to ask. And that's part of prayer.
Norma Jean, give us a closing thought.
Okay, well, I would love to have your listeners know what I wrote for the second part of my introduction. So let's close with that. Here we go. Every culture and religious tradition possesses its own unique approach to prayer, but I believe the human heart transcends any differences expressed in our various global spiritual practices. The words and photographs contained in this book have universal appeal and are intended to speak to various concerns of our shared human condition. Feel free to close your eyes and open the book at random, or read it from beginning to end. Choose one bite-sized prayer each day, or perhaps memorize one that has special meaning for you. Prayer is prayer. It doesn't really matter what words you utter. What matters is that you pray with your whole being. Only when you feel what you're feeling are you fully present. That's when you can truly be still and know the one true presence. My deepest desire is that you will find a kernel or morsel of truth to keep you moving forward on the path of your spiritual journey. Know that you are not alone and that you are deeply loved. Every breath I take is a prayer. So may it be for you.
The title of the book, Bite-Sized Prayers, Non-Denominational Morsels to Feed Your Soul, the author, Norma Jean Strickland. Norma Jean, tell us how to get your book.
The book is available right now from BalboaPress.com. And so you can just go to their bookstore online and enter the title, Bite-Sized Prayers. Or if your listeners have other online retailers that they prefer, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it's also available at their respective websites as well. So it's ready, and I'm ready.
Well, that is true, Norma Jean. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.